Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma, Ayin Aleph. We're in the very bottom of Ayin Amud Beis, and we are beginning at the two dots, three lines from the bottom of the Amud, Kidesh Adavar Aglov. Okay, as we are now getting basically to the end of the Avodah Yom HaKippurim, here in the seventh parak of the Masechta, final parak of the Avodah. Eighth parak has to do with the Enum of Yom Kippur. We're going to start that in a couple days from now. But here in the seventh parak of the Masechta, so we're going basically wrapping it up. Having done through all the Avodos HaPnim, with the hazas of the par and the seir in three sets and the pouring of the shirayim and the sending off the seir mishalech, which was detailed in the sixth parak of the Masechta. So here in the seventh parak, basically everything else that's done over the course of the day, all the various karbanos that are brought. Remember, in order to really maintain a full complement of the karbanos that are brought on Yom Kippur. So you have to know two parshios in the Torah. You have to know the parsha of Achrimos, which gives us a listing of all the karbanos that are brought specific to the avoda of Yom Kippur. And then you open up to Parshas Pinchas, and in Parshas Pinchas, you're going to read about all the musafim. And so those are two different sets of karbanos that are offered, but they're obviously both offered on Yom Kippur. Is there any overlap between them? Well, it happens to be that we addressed that question at the end of yesterday's daf, at the tail end of yesterday's daf. So the Gemara detailed that there is overlap between them. Or let me say clearer. There's a machlokus as to whether or not there's any overlap between them. There's an aisle that's brought us a carbon ola. It's mentioned in Achrimos. It's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. Is it the same aisle? Is it a different aisle? So it's a machlokus between the Tanayim. Rebbe's of the position, it's aisle echad, it's just simply one aisle. It happens to be that it's discussed twice in the Torah, once in Parshas Yuma, and again, it's the same aisle that's being described in Parshas Pinchas, even though one is coming as a carbon vis-a-vis Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the other one is coming as a carbon vis-a-vis Musafim, but Hainuach, it's the same one. And meanwhile, Rebbe Shimon disagrees. He says no. He says there are two different karbanos, two different parshas, two different karbanos. Okay, so that's basically what.
Excuse me, Rabbi Sugarman, can you move over to the middle a little bit? You're too much to the left.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just can you move over slightly? Thank you.
Okay.
To see your face. Thank
okay.
You.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. Okay, so that's basically what we've been discussing in detail over the last couple of days here in the seventh parak of the Masechta. We're going to start on the two dots, and we're going to be covering a topic that we covered earlier in the Masechta, Daf Lamed Beis. We covered this topic, but we get to review. If I follow the Torah's instructions in Achrimos regarding the Avoda, so how many times am I going to have the Kohen Gadol changing his clothing? So the answer is three times, if I just went with the Chumash. Because he starts off the day doing standard avodas of the Tamid Shel Shachar, and then afterwards he changes into the Levanim, he changes into the special begadim of the Kohen Gadol, the white clothing, and then he's going to perform all these special avodas Yom HaKippurim, and then afterwards he's going to go back into the Big Day Zahav, and he's going to finish up the day in his Big Day Zahav. So it's Big Day Zahav, Big Day Levan, Big Day Zahav. So that's if I just read the Chumash Kipshuto. And we already made this point back on Daf Lamed Beis. However, we have a Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai. We have an oral tradition that teaches us that Kohen Gadol is going to be changing five times. It's going to be gold, white, gold, white, gold. And so therefore, what we know from Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai is that it's not going to be three changes, but rather it's going to be five changes. Now, how do we arrive at that conclusion that it's five changes? So we already know this. So what's going to happen is that he's going to go gold, white, then he's going to go back to gold in order to bring his aisle and the aisle of the of Klal Yisrael, which is detailed in Achrimos. Then he's going to go back to white, and he's going to take out Kafa Machta, take out the spoon and the shovel from the Kodesh Kedashim. Then he's going to go back to gold and bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Okay, a large discussion that we had already back on Daf Samech Tes, taking us back. Samech Tes and really Ayin, right? Otherwise known as yesterday's Daf. So a larger discussion that we had is when do all the other karbanos come in? When do all the musafim come in? Do they come in conjunction with the Tamid Shel Shachar, with the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim? So if you recall yesterday, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer in terms of when exactly the other karbanos come in. Anyway, but it's five changes. So we saw this already back on Daf Lamed Beis, and now we're going to be able to see it again. So let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanu Va'aron al Olam Moed. Aaron's going to be entering into Olam Moed. So, Lama Huba. He's going into Olam Moed. So, why is he going in? Now, if you're looking carefully at the pasuk over here, so this pasuk already is now towards the end of the avoda. So this is already pasuk chav gimel. Pasuk chav gimel, where basically, again, a better appreciation of all this is to go through the entire parsha. We're not going to go through the entire parsha. I'm just highlighting the psukim right now that the Gemara is focusing on. But if you look at pasuk chav gimel, va'aron ala amoidu pasha's big day habarashel avash bevaol hakadosh v'nicham sham. So he's going into Ohel Moed. He's going into Ohel Moed? What do you mean? Hasn't he been there the whole time? What does he mean? He goes into Ohel Moed. Oh, so the Gemara says, is that encrypted here is that he came out and he went back in again. That's the encryption. So again, it's not the, it's the Gemara's drasha. Uva'aron el Ohel Moed, lama hu ba'la hotzi, it's a kafa machta, so he's going back in order to remove kafa machta. Shekola parsha kula nemra ala seder, chutz mi pasuk zeh. So the entire parsha is kaseder with notable exception to this pasuk. Pasuk chav gimel is out of order. Meaning what happened between chav beis and chav gimel is that he came out, he changed into big day zahav, he offered his isle and the isle of the people, then he changed again, he put on his big day lavan and he went back in. So again, in the psukim themselves, it's not clear. In the psukim themselves, it's pasuk chav beis, pasuk chav gimel, it seems to be just kind of streamlining one into the other. And meanwhile, that's the Torah Shabbat Peh. So, and the Pesukim are Shalok Seder. It's not in order. So, my time. So the Gemara says, now, what strong indicators do we have? The answer is going to be, just, outside of the Gemara, the answer is going to be, Talach L'Mosh Mesinai. Meaning, the strongest indication that we have, this is part of our oral tradition. In terms of, this is how the Avod of Yom Kippur is done. But what the Gemara wants to know is, now that we know this, meaning we know what the conclusion is, can I see it in the Pesukim? Is there going to be any kind of hints and remuzim in the Pasuk that this is in fact the indication? So the Gemara is going to give a couple. So the Gemara wants to know my time, so what's the reason? So the Gemara is going to give two approaches. So I'm Rav Chista, so approach number one is going to be Rav Chista Gemiri. So we have a tradition, meaning this is basically what we presented. And that is that we have Allah Moshe Messina, Chamash Vilafasar, Kedushim Tavel, Kohen Galdel, Umekash Baba Yom. So the number that we know we're going to arrive at is going to be 5 and 10. 5 tefilos and 10 times of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Now, Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is the washing of the hands and the feet. And we know that with every change, with every wardrobe change, so he's also, in addition to toveling in the mikvah, so there are 5 changes, so that's 5 tefillahs, but there's also going to be 2 times where it's going to be Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So for the 5 changes, he's going to be washing his hands and feet twice. Now, remember, we had a debate earlier in the Masechta. He washes his hands first time before he takes off his previous clothing or after he takes off his previous clothing. Well, as machlokas already amongst the Tanaim. Regardless, the point is that with every wardrobe change, there's going to be 2 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. The math over here is really simple. So 5 changes, two hand washes every time. Total of 10 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So V'i Amar Kisse Dram Ksiva Lamashkach Alay Lo Shal Shvias V'Shisha Kiddushim. So the Gemara over here is doing a little reverse engineering. Meaning if we didn't add an extra wardrobe change and we just followed the psukim kipshuto, so then we're going to only end up with 3 wardrobe changes, gold, white, gold, and then it's only going to be 5 tefillahs in the mikvah and 6 times of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Okay, so we basically are working backwards based on the fact that we know it's 5 and 10. So maskev l'Rabbi Zeira v'dilma mafsik lu b'sir nasa b'chutz. So the Gemara says, fine. Okay, so here's what we know. So we know that there's going to be an interlude, meaning that while doing the Avodas Apnim, so he's going to do the vast majority of it, and then there's going to be some sort of interlude, and then afterwards he's going to put it on the whites again. But how do I know what the interlude is? Maybe the interlude is Sir Nase Bechutz. Now, the Sir Nase Bechutz, as we talked about yesterday, so that's the standard Chatat that's born in Yom Kippur. You're not going to be reading that in Parshas Achrayim. Most you're going to be reading that in Parshas Pinchas, as part of the standard Musafim that come on Yom Kippur, there is a standard Nasir. It's called Seir Naseh Bechutz. There's nothing special about it. It's just in contradistinction to the Seirim that are brought on Yom Kippur that we've been spending the bulk of the Masechta talking about. We talked about the Seir that's brought into, not the Seir, but the blood of the Seir that's brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Parochis and the Mizbech HaZahav. So in contrast to that, there's a Seir Sheh Nasa Bechutz. It's a standard Karban Chatos that is part of the Musafim of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, maybe what the interlude is the Seir Nasa Bechutz. So I'm Rabbi Amakra. So Abai says, nope, can't be. Why? because take a look at the pesukim. Now we go ahead one pasuk. We're in pasuk Chav Dalet. The pasuk says v'yatza v'asa es olaso. So he's going to exit and he's going to do his ola. So So it's from that very first yitzia, meaning again, just a careful reading of the pesukim would indicate that when is he offering the aisle, right? The aisle and the, there are two elim that are brought, right? Again, this is the acharemos elim, which again, according to one Tana, overlaps with the, it's the same one that's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, but regardless, if we're just staying in acharemos, there are two elim that the Torah instructs to bring, one which is a complementary aisle, which is an ola, to the Kohen Gadol's par, and the other one is a complementary aisle to Klal Yisrael Seir, meaning the Torah says that the Kohen brings a par and an aisle. The par is a chatus, aisle is an ola. And then for the Jewish people, a Seir and an aisle. A Seir is a chatus, aisle is an ola. So now, when you read the Pesukim, it says, V'yatza, upon exiting, the first thing that's going to be done is Elo ve'el ha'am, the two carbon olas. So, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says v'yatza, that means that it's the first thing that's done as he's exiting. That's how we know, in other words, again, a careful reading of the Pesukim would indicate that he's going to be exiting, and it's the first exit, and that which is going to be offering is the Elo ve'elam. Good. Rav Amar Makram. Now, as Rashi points out over here, Rav is going back to the beginning, meaning the Gemara's opening question of the day was, how do I know? How do I know it's 5 and 10? So the Gemara give first an answer of Rav Chista because of Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Well, again, that's a perfectly acceptable answer. That's Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what we're doing right. That's what we do every day. So, but what Rav is going to now offer is another explanation in terms of how we know that it comes out to be 5 wardrobe changes. Rav Amar Makra Ufashat. It's Big Day Abad. She'ain't Tamalam Rashalavash. Again, go back to the Pesukim and read. He's taking off his Big Day Abad. That's the whites. She'ain't Tamalam Rashalavash. And then the Torah says, you know which ones he's taking off? The ones that he wore. Okay. What else is he taking off? Meaning, Asher Lavash is perfectly extraneous. So, Klom Adam Poshet Elamash Lavesh, right? That's what you take off. You take off the clothing that you put on. So, Elamatam Alam Asher Lavash, Lavash Kfar. No. So, again, it's an encryption. A careful reading of the Pasuk would indicate that this is clothing that he already wore previously. What do you mean he wore previously? He only put it on one time. Oh. No, that's not true. He didn't put it on one time. He actually put it on twice. Once to do the bulk of the Avoda, and now he's putting on a second time. Again, you don't see in the Torah where he's putting it on a second time, but if you look at the Pesukim carefully and you see the extra words in the Pasuk, it is encoded in the Torah that he already wore it previously. Okay. Maskev l'Rava b'Rav Shilav e'maham demavsik le'besir nasa b'chutz. So again, the Gemara is going to go through the same back and forth. Because Rav is offering his pshat, this is different than Rav Chista's pshat. Rav Chista just simply says, it's halach l'moshe m'sinai, but when all said and done, it comes out to be the same point. And that even though the Torah makes it sound like he's wearing the levanim in one fell swoop, but nevertheless, we're now reading that, no, it's not true. He actually is wearing it, taking it off and wearing it again. But again, we know now that there's an interlude. Something is happening between. What's happening in between? So again, we know the answer. Elo ve'el ha'am. But the Gemara wants to know, maybe it's Sira Nasa Bechutz. So, Dichsi Vayatza Haksi Vayatza Asa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but no, it can't be. Because Vayatza Asa, again, the same thing. That the exiting immediately results in Elo ve'el ha'am. V'chol ha'parsha kula nemer ala seder v'ha'krai k'siva. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Good. So where do we stand right now? We knew this already back on Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara just simply spent a little bit more time with this topic of how do I know that the white clothing are worn not once but twice in Yom Kippur, even though a simple reading of the Pesukim would not indicate that. But again, it's either Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, or you can actually read it encrypted in the Pesukim when the Torah says, U'fashad is Big Day Abad, Asher Lavash. That Asher Lavash is indicating that there was a previous time that he wore it. Okay, either Pshat, good. The Gemara now is bothered by the fact that we said that the rest of the Avodah of Yom Kippur is said Al HaSeder. Everything else is done sequentially. So the Gemara now wants to test it whether or not that in fact is correct. And the Gemara says, I don't think everything is said sequentially in the Parsha. Why is the Gemara arrive at that conclusion? So the Gemara says, V'chol Parsha Kula. We are 2 lines before the lines get wide. V'chol Parsha Kula, Nemra, La Seder, V'akraik Sivin. Let's take a look at the Pesukim. The Pesukim says, V'eschelef achatas yakir mizbecha. So first it says, this is Pasuk Chavhei. It says that the chelef chatas yaktir. The chelef, the carbon chatas, we described this earlier in the Mishnayos, where he's ripping open the part in the seer, prior to them being removed from the Gimel Machanos and being burned outside the Gimel Machanos. But the first thing you do is you take out the Emurim in order to burn. Now, you don't burn the Emurim right away, so when do you burn them? So Pasuk Chafei says you burn them at a later point in time. And then, Vahadar, now go ahead a couple more Pesukim, Par Chatas Vesir Chatas. The Par Chatas and Sir Chatas are going to be burnt. So if I'm following the sequence of the Pesukim in the Torah, it's going to be the removal of the Emurim, and then at a later point in time, the burning of the Par Chatas and Sir Chatas. No, I'm sorry, not the removal. Sorry, I take it back. The burning of the Emurim, and then later it's the burning of the actual carcasses of the part in the seer. They're not carcasses. You understand they were shechted, but just you know. Anyway, so the ilu anantanan. So here now the Gemara is setting us up for the question again. The premise is that all the psukim in Achrei Most are sequential, with notable exception to the big day lavan that's worn by the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara wants to know, that doesn't seem to be true, because I'm showing you now, these are the tail end psukim over here, where it sounds like the burning of the Emurim are done prior to the burning of the Par in the Seer. That's the psukim. Now, what do we know from the Mishnayos? We know from the Mishnayos that's not the order. That's not the correct order. The Ilu Anantanan. Let's go back to our Mishnayos. Haros Kohen Gadol Kishu Kare in a row Par v'Seer Nisrafim. So when is the burning of the Par in the Seer done? So go back to a mission that we did a couple days ago, and we know that it was done at the same time concurrently that the par in the seer, sorry, that the Kohen Gadol was reading from the Parshios. Okay. When was the Kohen Gadol reading from the Parshios? It forces us really to just remember and replay the entire sequence of Yom Kippur. Kohen Gadol's reading from the Parsha when? Not at the end. Correct. But he's wearing his big day lavan, meaning and not wardrobe change number 4, but wardrobe change number 2. He's wearing his big day lavan. Now it could be. Remember, the Mishnah said he could get out. He could slip out of his big day lavan, not to change into his big day zav. But if he wants to, he could wear. He's got personal clothing that he wants to wear for the kriyas hatorah, but he doesn't have to. He could stay in his big day lavan. So that means that the burning of the part in the seer is occurring concurrently with the kriyas hatorah. Now the ilu imur echatos basar hachim akter lo. Now when are we burning the imur echatos? So later in the day, the Emurim of the Chatas are going to be burnt, right? Either when he changes into his gold the third time, or maybe when he changes into his gold the fifth time, but later in the day. So over here, you tell me that the Pasuk is operating sequentially, with notable exception to the big day Lavan, but meanwhile, the burning of the Par in the Seir, and the burning of the Emurim of the Par in the Seir, in the Pesukim, it sounds like first burning of the Emurim, followed then by the burning of the Par in the Seer. In the Mishnayos, just the opposite. So the Gemara says, "Eim achutz mipasuk zeh ve'elech." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so I'll tell you now what to do," and that is that you get up to Pasuk Chav Gimel, everything up to and including Pasuk Chav Gimel sequential. Again, with one exception, and that is that there's not one wearing of the Big Day Lavan; it's two wearings of the Big Day Lavan. But outside of that, it's sequential. After that, I'm going to say it a little bit rough, but it falls apart after that. It doesn't fall apart after that. It just happens to be that we should not expect sequence after that. After that, the Torah gives us details of what's happening, but it doesn't follow a particular sequence. That's the Gemara's revised understanding of how to read Parshas Achrei Most. And the Gemara says, continuing, Gemara has a phenomenal question. Okay, so basically what we're doing now is that we are contorting. We are contorting the Pesukim because we are given a very clear picture of what the Avodah looks like in the Mishnayos. And now we go back to the Pesukim and a contortion of the Pesukim because we got to fit it into the Mishnayos. Okay, so if we're going to do any kind of accommodation, the Gemara says, basically, I got this great idea. Right, why don't we accommodate the Mishnayos so that it fits into the Pesukim? Okay, yeah, right. Okay, good. So it's a strong question. So Amar Abayi, Amakra, Vamashalech, Vasaref. So Abayi says, nope, can't be. There is really strong indication that the psukim themselves are not there for the purpose of sequence. Now, again, when I say the psukim, I mean post Chav Gimel psukim. I mean, any pasuk in Achrei Mos after pasuk Chav Gimel, from Chav Dalin and onward, the parsha goes up to, if I'm not mistaken, Lamed Gimel. Okay, I was off by one. Lamed Dalin. So from Chav Dalin to Lamed Dalin, there is a lot of good indication that it's not sequence. And so it affords us now the opportunity to say that up to a certain point there was sequence, and then from that point going forward there wasn't. How do I know that? So over here we're in pasuk Chavav. The pasuk says, by quotes the pasuk, I'm a krav, I'm a shalech. And in pasuk Chav Ches it says, v'hasoreif. So ma mishalech dimikara, v'soreif dimikara. So now mishalech, sending away the goat. Now sending away the goat took place much earlier. So when in pasuk Chavav it talks about being mishalech, so it means the one that we already sent away. So it's clear in the latter part of the perek that it's not sequence. So adraba masarif dahashaf mishalech dahashta. Again, the Gemara is just pushing back. The Gemara is saying, well, look, why don't we just simply argue that the real sequence is present in the Torah? And the Mishnayos start to just simply accommodate the Pesukim. So the Gemara says, no. V'ha mishalech demikara mashma. The Gemara says, no. That even as a simple reading of the Pesukim, there's no other way to read it. V'ha mishalech grammatically means, and the one that we sent away. So it means that that it was already done. Okay, so an indication that the psukim themselves are not to be read in sequence. Rava gives a different proof as, in terms of how this is so. Amakra Yamod Chai Ad Masai Ye Zakuk Lamod Chai. How long does the Sira Mashalech has to be alive for? Achas Kapara. Up until the point of Kapara. Meaning, remember that the two Sirim basically are connected to one another. They were part of the lottery, obviously, but even after the lottery, the Sira Mashalech has to be alive for what? Or for how long? Well, we know for what. In other words, it's going to be sent off a cliff. But how long does it need to be alive for? Up until the point of kapara of its twin, of its paired seir. Meaning that the shech, the seir Lashem, and you do all the hazaros of the seir Lashem, and then and only then, the seir Mishalech is sent away. If it happens to die any point after that time, that's fine. That's not a problem. Right? We made this point already a number of times. The sending it off the cliffs, that's a mitzvah. But what's ma'akev? It just simply has to be alive for the shas kapara. V'hemasai shas kapara b'shas mandamim. Now v'sulo. Now the shas kapara is done only at the point of the sprinkling of the blood, and no point beyond that. So it's another proof that the psukim themselves are not there meant to be giving us any kind of sequence. Okay. Meaning when pasuk chavav says v'hamishalech and I'm sending it away, that's coming at a much earlier point. It's not coming later in Pasuk Chavav. Okay, Adkan, the first part of today's daf. We'll put a bookmark over here, and that really concludes our first part of the today's daf. So to summarize it, actually, it's pretty straightforward. Admittedly, there's a little bit of complexity within the first part of today's daf, but basically, it's just a question of how to understand the proper sequencing of the avodas Yom Kippurim. So here's basically a couple of basic points that we walk away with. Number one. In terms of knowing what exactly happened in the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Kippur, so go to the Mishnayos, right? The Mishnayos are there to give us the correct sequencing, meaning not only all the avodas that are done, but in the proper order in which it's done. So the Mishnayos are giving us the proper order, right? Obviously, the Chumash gives us a presentation, but you have to complement it with the Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Without the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Chumash itself is not giving us proper Seder. And in terms of the Chumash itself, so that's one basic point. The second basic point is that in the Chumash itself, what we can expect is that from the beginning of Achrei Mos, from the beginning of Peretz Zion, up until and including Pasuk Chav Gimel, so the Torah is giving us proper sequence. With a notable exception, and that is in the Torah, there's only one time that the Kohen is wearing his Big Day Lavan in order to do all the Avoda. However, on that particular point, so there we modify based on our Torah Shebaal Peh. And that is that he wears the Big Day Lavan not once, but twice. Meaning that there's going to be an interlude in which he's wearing his Big Day Zahav. And the truth of the matter is the second time that he wears his Big Day Lavan, he's not doing much quantitatively. Qualitatively, he's going back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But quantitatively, he's not doing much. He's just removing the Kafan Machta. Good. So those are the basic points that we get from the first part of today's daf. And then just the details, and obviously the, you know, it's in the details are important, but the details in terms of how we arrived at all those conclusions. But that, those are the basic points. Okay. Quick conclusion now of today's daf. We are starting, it's so funny, there should be two dots over here in the Gemara, there aren't, but let's go on to the next part. So, iti mishalech matzah b'shuk l'kohen gadol. So now, epilogue. Okay, so the Ishiti now comes in, and he meets with the Kohen Gadol. Now, this, of course, is much later in the day, right? The Ishiti was sent off on a pretty long hike, 12 mil, approximately 12 kilometers. He's going to be sending the goat off the cliff. And then sometime, and remember, the rest of Yom Kippur, where is he? So he goes back to the 10th sukkah. So he's still 10 kilometers outside of town until Motzei Yom Kippur. So he's going to be seeing the Kohen Gadol when? Who knows? Maybe that night, Motzei Yom Kippur, maybe. Probably the next day. Anyway, so they're going to get together, right? And both went on some journey. Kohen Gadol didn't travel that far, right? He went as far as Ezros Nashim to read the Torah, but that, you know. But meanwhile, they meet each other. And so, how should the reunion go between the Ishiti and the Kohen Gadol? So over here, it's so funny. We're going to be hearing a formula of what the Ishiti should be saying to the Kohen Gadol. So, iti mishalech matzah b'shuk l'kohen gadol. So, if they happen to meet each other in the shuk, so amar lo, ishi kohen gadol, asinu shlichusech. So he says, I did exactly as you instructed. Okay, good. That should be the formal greeting. Ishi kohen gadol, obviously a reverential term. We've seen the term throughout the Masechta. And basically, whatever you send me to do, that's what I did. Good. Matzah bebeso amar lo. Now, let's say it happened to have been a private reunion. Right? They meet each other in the house of the kohen gadol. So what does he say? He says, Mechayechayim, asinu shlichusel. So he says, not Ishi Kohen Gadol, but rather Mechayechayim, that which provides life. Obviously, a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I did shlichusel, I did his bidding. Meaning, you didn't tell me to go out to the desert and throw the goat off the cliff. It's a mitzvah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so basically, if you meet him in public, so he's a public figure, and not just any public figure, he's a Kohen Gadol. So you got to speak to him with respect and reverence. If you meet him privately, you know, you don't have to say Ishi Kohen Gadol. You could just simply cut right to the chase. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. Okay, good. So a really interesting Gemara in terms of how the Ishiti should be addressing the Kohen Gadol and the distinction where if they meet in public versus if they meet in private. And now this is basically going to be a springboard for the Gemara to point out a couple of other interesting tidbits regarding greetings and proper greetings. So when the rabbis would leave one another in Pumbedisa, they would say, so this is the greetings that they would give out in Pumbedisa. Okay, it's not a popular greeting, at least I don't hear it that often. So in the Mechayechayim, that who provides life, the one who provides life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he should give you Chaim Aruchim Tovim Musukan, they give each other brachas as they would depart from one another. Okay, and now, another springboard where the Gemara is going to use this opportunity. So we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Mechayechayim, the one who provides life. So the Gemara now is going to give us a couple of other drashas. It's Alech Lefnei Hashem Baratzos HaChayim. Okay, the Pasuk in Tehillim. Amar Rav Yehuda Zeh Makom Shvakim. It's a reference to the marketplaces, meaning when David HaMelech says that I want to meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz HaChaim, he's referring to the marketplace. The marketplace is Eretz HaChaim. So, right, Rashi over here, really straightforward pshat in Rashi. So, Rashi says that David Metaltel Navinad Hayam Espalo Aladavar. David, very often in his life, finds himself to be wandering and without food. And so when he got to the marketplace and there was food in the marketplace, he thanked the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, this is fantastic. Okay. So, a simple pshat, but okay, good. Again, now we're just drushes with the word chayim. Okay, that's the general thread of this Gemara. So another drasha. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei. Now the Gemara darshins. V'chi yeshanim shel chayim, yeshanim she'enim shel chayim. Now I don't understand. There are years where you're alive and there are years where you're not alive. Meaning, what is that? So, Amar Rabbi Lazar Eluch Shnos of Shalom Hamisapo Alav Mira Alatova. So, yeah. In other words, right? Some years of our lives, so we're just simply not living. And once again, I turn to Rashi, and Rashi says over here, a person goes through a good part of his life where He's just, it's just not an easy life. It's a difficult life, right? Rashi over here discusses finances and a person being in a state of poverty. So Rashi writes, okay, so those are tough years. But later in his life, if he happens to come into money, so basically what he's going to do is that he's, generally speaking, going to have a pleasant memory of his whole life. It'll able to a certain degree to whitewash a lot of the difficult years. So that's the understanding of how a good year can turn bad years into good as well. Next, Alechem Eisim Ekra. So again, just more drashas. Over here, we quote a pasuk of Mishlei, third parak. Now we're in the eighth parak of Mishlei. So Amar of Brechia, Elu Tamid Chachamim She Domim Lanashim VeOsim Gvura KaAnashim. Okay, so the I make you like Ishim. Now Ishim is not here. It could be understood in a number of different ways. In fact, we're going to hear a couple of different ways to understand it. But the first way the Gemara understands it is that it's a reference to Tamid Chachamim who are like an Isha. Now I know the plural of Isha is Nashim, not Ishim. But Rashi points out over here, it's not men, because men would be anashim. Okay, so ishim over here is to be understood like women. And basically, talmid chachamim, which are basically similar to that of women, meaning they're in the base medrash all the time, they're learning all the time, they're not that fit. Okay, they're not strong. And meanwhile, osin gvur karnashim, but they become strong, right? Mentally strong, right? Discipline strong, maybe also even physically strong, but probably talking about the discipline and the fact that they're going to paskin halacha and they're going to be stronger personalities. Good. That's one way to understand it. V'amar Abrechia, Harotzel Nasechen, Agabe Mizbech, Yamale Gronim Shal Tamid Chachamim, Yayin. So if you want to be fortunate enough where you're going to be offering, wine on the Mizbech, okay, it's a schus to do so. So how do you get to that point of doing so? So the Gemara gives us basically a skula, if you will. Okay, right. I'm not a big skula guy. But a skula, if you will. This is a drasha. And that is that you have Tamid Chachamim over your house. And you give them food and you give them drink. And obviously drink by Tamid Chachamim. Drink for everybody back in the day was wine. So, and you give them wine. Shenemar Alechem Ishim Akra. Again, same pasuk of Mishlei. So it's a skula that if you host Talmid Chachamim and you feed them and you give them drink, so eventually you will have the schos of being in the base of Mikdash and offering yain on the mizbech. Amar Abrechia Imroa Adam Shetar Posekes Mizaro. So let's say that the next generation is not doing so well in terms of Torah. Okay, in other words, your boys are not learning so well. So what do you do? So Yisa Bas Talmid Chacham. So make sure your daughter marries a Talmid Chacham. Okay, if the kids are not learning, so import a Talmid Chacham into your house, i.e. have a Talmid Chacham, marry your daughter. So Shenemar, Im Yaskin Be'eret Shersho, the Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Eov, describing a tree. The tree is getting old. Uve Afar Yamos Gizo, and you see that the trunk is not doing well. Okay, the tree is just simply not doing well. So Meirech Mayim Yafriach Va'ose Katsir Kaboneta. So put a little bit of water in, and now the Gemara is understanding that water over here, Rashi says it very clearly. So water is a reference to Torah, B'nai Torah. So put a little bit of water in, and then you're going to find so that the tree is going to grow even stronger. So good. So you invite a Talmid Chacham into your house, not just invite him into your house, but give him one of your daughters to marry. So now, so Torah will be reintroduced into your house, and you'll have Torah again. Tavayom Tavaya Oselo Avav. Okay, one more piece of Agadata before we get to the next mission of Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. Maisa b'kohen gadol echad shi'asa me'beis ha'mikdash. V'avu az leku le'am e'basrei. So the kohen gadol left the beis ha'mikdash, and he had a full entourage. Kevin dechazin l'shamaya v'avtalio. Now it happened to have been that also coming down the road was none other than Shemaya v'avtalio. They were the two leaders of the Jewish people. Remember, they were part of the Zugos. There are five Zugos. Five pairs of Talmid Chachamim that led the Jewish people from Shimon HaTzadik basically to the Tkufa, the period of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai being pair number five of the Zugos. So Shemaya V'Avtalion happened to have been the Rebbeim of Hillel and Shammai, so that means that they were pair number four. So over here, the Kohen Gadol, so we're right now somewhere in the middle of the Tkufa of the second base of Mikdash, and so now, walking down the street is Kohen Gadol with his entourage. They see Shemaya V'Avtalion, so they quickly detach themselves from the Kohen Gadol, and now they become the entourage of Shemaya V'Avtalion. Okay, they're the leaders. They are the Talmid Chachamim. Okay, so Shavku L'Dideva Azle Basar Shemaya V'Avtalion. Okay, and you can imagine now this particular Kohen Gadol, he was personally offended. Like, right? remember me? All right, I was the one who just did the Avodah of Yom Kippur today. Right, I survived, and now you're leaving me. You're going to Shema Ve'Avtalion. So Lasof Asu Shema Ve'Avtalion Leiftur Mine. So they were happened to have been working together for a little bit of time, but Shema Ve'Avtalion now were going to are going to excuse themselves from the Kohen Gadol, and I'm sorry, Leiftur Mine did Kohen Gadol. So and now this Kohen Gadol was basically he was fuming, right? He was hissing. Because all the students left him in order to go to Shemai Vavtayon. And the Kohen Gadol took it personally. And so now the Kohen Gadol said to Shemai Vavtayon, so Amar Lahon, Yesub Bnei Amamim L'Shalom. So he says to Shemai Vavtayon, I'll see you guys later, but that's not a good translation. A better translation would be, I'll see you strangers later. Shemai Vavtayon famously were Gerim, they were converts, and so they were not born as Jews. And so, the Kohen Gadol basically to as a verbal jab to Shema Ve'Avtalion, he says, "Yeah, right. Take care and whatever the nationality was, I don't know quite frankly, but basically he reminded them they were not born Jews, but they rather came from a different nation. This is what's called onas devarim, right? Taking a verbal jab at somebody, right? Verbally assaulting somebody. So that's an issur in the Torah. Rashi here quotes the pasuk." Right, lo sonu, one is not allowed to oppress. Financially oppress somebody, that's what's called onas mamon. And verbally oppressing somebody, that's what's called onas devarim. And that's exactly what the Kohen Gadol did. Okay, this is the second base of Mikdash. The fact that the Kohen Gadol sparred in verbal jabbing, so shouldn't shock us, shouldn't surprise us, but okay, that's what the Kohen Gadol did. So Amrule, so they had a great response to the Kohen Gadol. So Yesum b'nei amamim l'shalom, yeah, these strangers, meaning they're referring to themselves. So we're going to go in peace. Da avdin uvda da Aaron. You know, we behave like Aaron, meaning we don't get down and dirty. We're not into the insults. But we're just trying to create peace. Velo Yesu bar Aaron l'shalom delo avid uvda da Aaron. Meanwhile, you happen to be a ben Aaron. You happen to be a descendant of Aaron, but you don't behave like Aaron. Okay, so fine. So from a nationality standpoint, yeah, it's true. We're out of towners, more than out of towners, right? We come from a different nation altogether. But in terms of our behavior, we're modeling Aaron's behavior much more than you're modeling Aaron's behavior. Okay, good. We finish up today's daf with a little bit of more general points. We are now winding down the Mishnayos over here. Clearly, you're going to see that we're winding down. The Avodah's done. And so now we're just going to make a couple general points in the Mishnah. And it's going to take us all the way to the end of the parak, right? This particular Mishnah, all right, I hope I'm right, is going to, right, yeah, I think so, is going to move us all the way to the end of the seventh parak. So we're just wrapping it up, if you will. Kohen Gadol Mishamish Bishmona Kalim Uvehejot Bi'arba'a. So the Mishnah over here at the end of the seventh parak of Yuma tells us now what a standard wear Begadim are of a Kohen Gadol versus the standard Begadim of a regular Kohen. Kohen Gadol, so he wears 8 articles of clothing. The Kohen Hedjot, so he wears 4. So, as far as the standard Kohen is concerned, so he's wearing the ketonis, that's the tunic, basically going from the shoulders all the way down to his calves, his ankle, his let's say his calves, maybe ankles. Anyway, the mechnasayim, also there's a pair of pants that are worn. Mitznefes, so that's the hat on his head, and avnate in the belt. So that's the standard wear of a standard Kohen. Most of love Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol now is going to be adding 4 additional articles of clothing in addition to the 4 standard. He's also wearing the choshen, the ephod, me'il tzitz. The choshen, that's the breastplate, and the ephod kind of looks like an apron. Rashi and Chumash spent a lot of time describing what the ephod looks like. It kind of looks like an apron. The choshen attaches itself to the ephod. Also, there is the me'il. Now, over here, we're not given sequence, by the way. We're not talking about the order in which he puts it on, meaning the mill goes on top of the ketonis, and then the ephod and choshen go on top of that, right? I'm sure, I don't know if your Gemara has pictures, but pictures abound in terms of the dress of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so you can get a good visual visual aid. Vitzitz, and also on top of that, the Kohen Gadol is going to be wearing the tzitz as well. That's the gold headplate that's worn by the Kohen Gadol. Be'elu, now while wearing the Shmona Begadim, Nishalim Be'Urim V'Tumim, you're gonna be able to ask within the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim is the Shema Mefarish that is inserted into the Choshen. Choshen doubles over. meaning it's rectangular in shape and it folds over into a square. And in the fold, you put in the Urim V'Tumim. And now it's, right, I've described in the past, like, it's like kind of like the battery pack, if you will, of the Choshen. And now what happens is that you can ask a question of the Choshen and the letters are going to light up. The letters are going to light up in order to provide direct messaging from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people. Now, who's asking from the Urim V'Tumim? So it's got to be public figure. The Einish HaMelech Hula'av Basin Lamisha had Sibur Tzarech Bo. It only could be someone who represents the Jewish people, either the king, the head of the Beis Din, or somebody that the community needs. And it has to be a community-wide question. It cannot be individual or private questions. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, just wrapping it up over here. We're going to go through, we'll go through the first round. Tana Rabbanan, we learned Tana Braisa. Dvarim Shenemar Behem Sheish. So anything that the Torah describes as being Sheish, right? Sheish in the Torah, obviously it's the number six, but in the context of clothing, it is linen. It's something made up of linen. So anything made up of linen, so chutan kafel shisha. So we know that it's going to be composite of six strands. Okay, so it's going to basically be six ply. Okay, mashzar. If you see the Torah giving a description of something being mashzar, so shmona. So that's going to be composite of eight threads. Me'il, shnemasar. If you see me'il, so that's going to be 12. Parochas, asrim varba. The parochas is going to be made up of a composite of 24, and choshen ve'efod asrim v'shmona. And the choshen and the efod are made up of a composite of 28. Okay, so various size threads, composite of various numbers. And so let's go now with round one. Let's do, for the remainder of this morning, just the, let's do the sheish. Let's do the linen. So chutin kafel shisha minalan damakra. So how do I know that whenever you see standard linen, so it's got to be composite of six, where do I get that from? So we turn to where the Torah introduces us to the begadim of the Kohen. V'yasu esa ketona sheish, v'es mitznefes sheish, v'es pere hamikbao sheish, v'es mechnasei abad sheish mash zar. So you see the word linen over here introduced how many times? Well, it happens to be that I count it, right? It's a, right, you would hopefully expect that. And the Gemara says, chamisha kraik sive. So it says it five times. Now I counted carefully and I counted only four times. So I was obviously confused. Rashi says, yeah, what you're also going to have to do is the word bad, which the Gemara over here doesn't reference, but you're going to find the word bad also. Bad is also referenced to linen. So either sheish, which is linen, or bad. Total number of five times. Why does the Torah say the word linen five times? So ksive. So I'm sorry. Chamisha krai ksive. So chad lagufe, dekista nehavu. So first of all, let's just establish the fact that the clothing are going to be made out of linen. Number one. Number two. V'chachi echut and kafel shisha. Second time it's there to teach us that it's got to be a composite. Each of the threads has to be a composite of six threads. How do I know that? Well, it's very simple. Because it says the word sheish, meaning, so it has a double meaning. One, it means linen, and two, it tells us also how to make it up of six strands. V'chashi shezurim, also it's got to be twisted. V'chalashar begadim shalon ambra mem sheish. A fourth time to teach us that even if the Torah does not say the word sheish, now we know what the default setting is. And then v'chal l'ma'akev. And the fifth time it's there to tell us that now it's repetition. The repetition is there to teach us that it is essential. You must do it in this manner, in which you must make up the begadim of linen and of no other fabric, no other material. My mashmadai sheish kesnehu. Gemara wants to know, how do I know? How do I know that sheish is a reference to linen? So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, I'm a kra. Bad, davar ha'olam in a karka, bad, bad. So you ever see linen growing out of the ground? I looked it up. Because no, I never saw linen growing out of the ground. But anyway, if you saw linen going out of the ground, does he have a picture today? So if you see linen growing out of the ground, well, not linen, but if you see flax growing out of the ground, so basically it's a stalk that goes straight up, right? It grows. It takes. I did a little bit of research. So it grows about 2-3 feet high. It's a single stalk that goes up, and then what you have to do is you have to beat it pretty well. But once you do that, you're given a linen strand. But anyway, so when the Torah describes bad, it means that basically it's one stalk going up. So bad is the, so davar ha'olam in a karka bad bad. So that's the way it grows. It grows basically from the ground in individual stalks. So Gemara says, ve'ema imra. Okay, wonderful. Maybe it's a reference to wool. How do I know that's talking about linen? You know, wool also grows. Now, granted, of course, the wool doesn't grow from the ground. It grows from an animal. But still, though, isn't each follicle hair basically shooting out one at a time? So the Gemara says, Amr iftzula mitzula. The Gemara says, yeah, but you ever see wool? So there are a lot of split ends. So that doesn't, it's not a good match. We're looking for something that is a single stalk that goes all the way up. And again, that's the flax. The flax plant is a single stalk going all the way up. So the Gemara says, kisna nami iftzula mafzil. What do you mean? It doesn't split? Sure it does. So the Gemara says, kisna agav lukuse mafzil. Yeah. That's when you beat it. So when you beat it, so it's gonna split. But before beating, right, it's gonna be a single stalk going up. So it's a better representation of the word bad. Ravina mar mehacha pere pishtam yu al rosham amichtan say pishtam yu al masnechem al masnechem. So Ravina gives a different approach, meaning it's all pointing to the same indication that the word sheish is a reference to linen. How do I know that? So I turn to the Pesukim in Yecheskel. In the 44th parak of Yecheskel, so it's a description of the begadim worn by the Kohen. And here, it says very clearly, it's pishtan, it's linen. So we don't have to decode. The Torah says the word sheish, the Torah says the word bad, it's a reference to linen. There's no decoding necessary, it says it, beferish. So amalei Rav Ashi, amakamad asi Yecheskel, man amra? Okay, I have a simple question. Okay, great, that's Yecheskel. So Yecheskel comes now at the end of Bias Rishon, and now, that's many years after the Torah was given. Okay, who knew before Yecheskel? So l'tameh ha'damer v'chista. So the Gemara says, really? That's not a question. The Gemara says, look, we have the following taught us by Rav Chista, Davar Zemi Torah Moshe Rabbeinu Lamanu, Midivri Yecheskel ben Buzin Lamanu. There happens to be a halacha that you will not find in the Torah, but you'll find it in the Navi Yecheskel. And that is, called ben Echa Arole v'arobaso lo yavol amikdashi. That if you are either uncircumcised or arolev. Arolev means what? You left the reservation. So it means that hashkafically you no longer believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're a kofer. So, right, you are off the reservation, right? OTD, but you know, really OTD, like, a kofer. So you cannot perform the avoda. So, hamikamid asi yecheskel manamra. So, a simple question, right? Somebody who is an aral basar, someone who's uncircumcised. Can you find me a pasuk in Chumash that tells me that he can't do the avoda? You're not going to find it. Okay? We know somebody who is an aral basar can't eat carbon pesach. Okay, that part's true. But a kohen who is an aral basar, and yes, Rashi writes over here, count on it every single time. Rashi writes over here, when we're talking about an aral basar, it's not no fault of his own. Meaning, it happens to be that his brothers died during Mila, so his parents correctly didn't give him a bris Mila. Yeah, he's an onus. But still, in other words, he's an aral basar, and he can't do the avoda. Where are you going to find that in the Chumash? Ela, Gemara Gemirila. So in other words, before Yecheskel wrote it in Sefer Yecheskel, so it was part of the Halach L'Moshe Misina, Vas Yecheskel, Vas Mechu Akra. And now we're going to find in Sefer Yecheskel. But it wasn't innovated, it came already at the time of Kabbalah Satara. It just happened to come in the form of Halacha Moshe Misinai, and only later is it written down in Sefer Yecheskel. So Achinami Gemara Gemira Lavas Yecheskel Vesmuchu Akra. The fact that the Big Day Kohen are made out of linen, so we knew that. We have Torah Shabbat Peh. We knew that through Torah Shabbat Peh. It just happens to be that. You want to see it in writing? Okay, so you open up Sefer Yecheskel, and you're going to find it over there. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with Mashzar. So right now, all we did was the first one. We did Sheish, but that's good. It's a good start. Let's quickly review. Let's recap our daf today. We went through once again. We did this back on Lamed Beis and Yuma. Now we're doing it again in today's daf in Ayin Aleph. And that is Seder Yom Avodas HaKippurim. What's the correct order? What's the correct sequence? And now, as we went through the parsha, we didn't go through the entire parsha inside, but we went through the parsha and up to and including Pasuk Chav Gimel and Achrei Motz from Aleph to Chav Gimel. Everything's in the correct sequence in the Torah, with one notable exception, and that is that the Kohen Gadol is wearing his Big Day Lava not once but twice. In other words, he's going to be doing some sort of interlude in the middle of the Big Day Lavan. Well, we happen to also know what the interlude is going to be. He's going to be offering Elo ve'El Ha'am. That is up to Pasuk Chav Gimel and including Pasuk Chav Gimel. But outside of that one detail, everything else is Kiseder. Then, from Pasuk Chav Dalet and onward to the end of the Parsha, it's not Kiseder. Okay, that's how you break up the Parsha and Achrei Motz. That's what we went over the first part of today's daf. Then, we talked about the various greetings that are given. We started off with the greeting that's given from the Ishiti to the Kohen Gadol when they in fact reunite at a later point in time. And interesting, the difference of whether or not they meet each other either privately or publicly. The Gemara went over a couple of other drashas, somewhat related, somewhat not related. But the Gemara went over a couple of other drashas on the Amud Beis. We saw the incident with the Kohen Gadol and Shemai V'Avtalion where The Talmidim left the Kohen Gadol and went to Shmaya V'Avtayon, and the Kohen Gadol was hissing. And he had some choice words for Shmaya V'Avtayon. Shmaya V'Avtayon, you know, had a message back for him, for the Kohen Gadol as well. And then the remainder of today's daf, we went over the basic differences between the dress of a Kohen Hedjot versus the dress of a Kohen Gadol. And now we're getting into the details regarding what is the composite, what is the actual begadim going to be made out of. So for the most part, it's going to be made out of linen. And we're even more specific than that in terms of how each strand is really going to be composite of six as a standard. Okay, and how do we know that? And how do we arrive at that conclusion? Adkan Divrei, Adkan Yuma Daf Ayin Aleph.